podcast. Not a cast pod. Hey, Rage, every day she'll make you say, oh my God. She got the scoop on pop culture news. So grab a drink, it ain't what you think. It's Sarah and her crew.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hey, Frasier podcast. I am Sarah Frasier. I am so excited about today's show. Now, normally when we have a Danny on, because that's kind of a unique name.
Mm-hmm. So Danielle is my real name.
Danielle is your real name. And then everyone calls you Danny for short.
Danny with an I.
Very, very popular DC blogger Danny Souter is here today co-hosting the show. You are blonde in the district.
Yes.
That is everything across every board.
Yes.
Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
Twitter.
Yes.
You are very popular, as I mentioned, fashion blogger, travel blogger, lifestyle. And you're here today not only to comment on pop culture, but talk about your great business.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm always excited to share because I always love, as a blogger, I always like to see how other bloggers started. So I'm excited to share.
Yes, because you've had an incredible business. You've grown so much in 4 years. I met you last summer, I think
in
it
September
was.
In September at the Fashion Nova at Fairfax Corner.
And I loved your just spirit, and I started following you, and you just rock who you are, your positive body image, which I think is so refreshing to see. You know, like, you've probably seen my highs and lows with my body struggle.
Right.
But for years, there was no women to follow that just had, like, their own shape and size and embraced their own body.
Now it's great. Like, Instagram is growing so much in that there is this body positive space, and people can go and feel great about themselves instead of being like, oh, you know, that I can't wear this or I can't wear that, or just be who you are and wear what you want to wear. You know what I mean?
It's yes. Like,
so it's great. And when I first started blogging, actually, I didn't the body positive movement hadn't really hit its height.
Oh yeah.
So I ended up rebranding, but it still met my mission from when I started my blog. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. You know, this is great. So that's how I kind of then geared to, like, body positive and trying to help other women boost their confidence.
Well, exactly. We're going to talk about that. I want to know how you have confidence, how you keep your confidence, because it's very hard.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, we'll talk about this too, but you've recently attracted some people, some trolls who are commenting on your body. And I want to know how you deal with that. And then also in this tricky world of whether it's a podcast or a blog or somebody starting their own side hustle, it's really hard to grow it.
Yes, it is so hard. And it's time consuming. But you have to hustle. You have
yes.
If you're going to do it, you have to hustle. You know, you can't just, like, do it and then hope things come to you. You have to go out and get it yourself. You know.
Well, we're going to share some of your secrets. You are so generous about talking about it. And then if you're interested in starting a blog, becoming an influencer, you also host a great meetup that we're going to talk about. But we're on Facebook Live right now. We Facebook Live every single Monday and Wednesday at 12:30 I mean, I usually talk to the guests for 2 hours before they're even on. I'm like, I need all the dirt. Oh yeah, then we'll go live. So every Monday and Wednesday, though, we're always live on Facebook on my Facebook page. It's Sarah Frasier. Be sure to share it right now with someone who's never heard of the show. Share it on your feed and comment on something you like. And if you are hopping on and you have a question for Danny, we're going to take some of those questions at the end. So if you want to know about being a fashion blogger, if you want to know about being a travel blogger, how to build your own side business, maybe you're a writer. I mean, because a lot of what Danny does applies to anyone, essentially, especially women, starting their own side hustle business. As you know, branding and marketing. So leave your question on Facebook right now. Kayla says hi. Stephanie Williams says hi. Paul Proctor is on. He says, hi. I'm excited to hear Danny talk. So are we.
Hi, everyone.
We also have to thank some of our sponsors. Mark Livingstone. We absolutely love Cornerstone First Financial. You need to go there today if you are in the market for a mortgage. He is your guy. He is the best in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. And they even work up and down the East Coast. So if you're listening to us in Florida, they can apply. Go to CornerstoneFirstFinancial.com. Ask for Mark. Tell him the Hey Frasier podcast sent you. All of your application fees are totally waived, up to $475. You own a home, Danny, right?
No, we rent. We just moved.
Oh, well, I got a man for you, Mark Livingstone.
Okay, I'm going to have to get his info.
We're taking you downstairs immediately.
Yes.
So Mark is terrific. He'll be on this podcast again answering some of your mortgage questions. But whether you're a first-time homeowner or you've bought many, he is your guy. So Cornerstone First Financial. Also, we have to thank Misty Blue BF. That is the new boutique that I'm working with. Do you like this top?
Yes, I do like that top.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
I need to go check out this boutique.
Blonde in the District approved. Misty Blue BF is locally owned, female owned. She is terrific. Tona Michelle is the woman. You can go to her website, which is MistyBlueBLEU.com. Anything that you order, put in promo code HeyFraise. You get 15% off everything. She has gorgeous shoes. And the best part is, this is why I partnered with her, sizes 4 to 24.
Yes.
Because I can't stand, I used to be, you know, when I've been all different shapes and sizes, and I would go into boutiques and you couldn't find anything.
It's the worst feeling walking into a boutique and being like, there's nothing for me here. Nothing fits me. It's like, I have money to spend. I want to spend money. I want to, you know, whatever. And it's like, you can't. There's nothing to buy
but
in your size.
In the fashion world, do you find that more and more brands are becoming really conscious and offering lots of sizes?
Oh, it's great. And like, I recently worked with Loft and they just launched a plus line, and it's like, what took you guys so long? I'm so happy that it's here, but it's like, why? I don't understand why it's taking so long. You know what I mean? The average size of a woman is 14 16. Whole life I've been a size 14 16, whole life,
right?
Even, you know, if losing weight and stuff, it's my body, and it's so frustrating, you know, that when you can't find something in your size. But a lot of big retailers are changing, and I think it's great.
Who do you like? Okay, you mentioned Loft. Is there anybody else that you like that's really offering all different shapes, sizes, all different clothing?
So I love Eloquii, and I work with them. This dress is Eloquii, but they do sizes. They do some size 12, but primarily 14 to 28. So they only cater to plus women, which
I think
is really cool, because so many other places don't cater to plus, you know, so they only cater, and they have great, great clothing. I love them.
Do they sell any, like, are they all online, or do
they have, they have a store in Pentagon City.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Eloquii. Okay, yeah. I'm going in.
Yeah, and like they have great stuff. And then ModCloth, I love too. They do the whole inclusive, size inclusivity, if I can speak. And I love that they're so unique, you know, and in fun styles. So I really like them too.
Okay, well, I'm going in there. So look, Dani, I wanted to have you on. Like I said, we met last fall, but
I've been listening to you forever.
Oh God, did you listen back in the radio days?
Yes.
Really, when we were on 99.5?
Yes. I used to love listening to you.
What were some of your favorite parts of my radio?
Oh my gosh. I used to love the Roses. Were you still on when Roses was?
Yes, the Roses was like our staple thing.
Yeah, so I loved it, but I got to say, I felt like it was overkill at the end. I was like, haven't people caught on? Like, how are people still not like, okay, we have some roses to deliver for you? You know, it's like, how have people not caught on?
Well, it wasn't exactly real.
It was all was it all fake?
Yeah.
All of it?
Yeah. I mean,
that is so funny. And here I was thinking that it was like totally real. And I was like, how do people not know yet? Like,
well, no, I always used to tell people this is like, you know, it's illegal to put somebody on the radio, you know, without their consent.
Yeah.
Right. So I'd always try to lead people to that. Like, now, if we called you and you were busted cheating, would you really stay on the line? And people were like, no. I'm like, okay, then who do you think would stay on the line? Probably someone who is a paid actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, that is so. So you guys would get paid. Would you like have people just like volunteer to do it?
Oh yeah, we'd have people. We'd have people that were paid to do it. You know, you'd just basically hire like an acting service.
Yeah.
Like
that is so funny.
Yeah.
I had all this time. It's been like 10 years or something.
Well, and people too caught on to it because they do a War of the Roses in almost every radio market in the country.
Okay.
So like Ryan Seacrest does Ryan's Roses. And then you go to like Minneapolis. There's a guy there who does Rose. Like everywhere you go.
I missed all of this.
Well,
I had no idea.
I think people just really love the entertainment of it. And of course, the stories were like wild. And so,
it was crazy. And you're like listening to it on your drive into work. And you're like, oh, like what's going to happen next? And all this stuff. And I used to love the commentary between like you and Sammy.
Sammy.
Yes.
And Kane.
It's so funny. I listen to you all many mornings driving in.
Love that.
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, see, we're old buds.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Blonde in the District, your business. So tell me this. You have been doing Blonde in the District as a blogger for about 4 years.
Yes. It'll be 4 years in October.
All right. So what was the inspiration? Why did you want to start your own blog and become an influencer?
So it's funny. When I started, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was in a job. I was working for a very small tech-based company, and I was doing marketing for them. And they were newer company, and they didn't understand marketing. They didn't really understand business development. So all of my ideas that I would constantly bring to them, I was always shut down. I was always being told no. So
yes.
My confidence, like, in the workplace just went down because I felt like I wasn't achieving anything. And, you know, at work, you want to do a good job.
Yeah, and you spend so much of your life at work, right?
Exactly.
So if you can't be creative and expressive and feel like you're furthering the team and, like, people value you to some degree, it's really hard to stay.
Yeah, it was awful. So I decided to, since I couldn't express myself in my work, I expressed myself through my clothes. So, and that helped me boost my confidence because, like, even though I knew I was going to walk into this meeting and be told no, at least I was going to look good. You know what I mean? So,
you know, when I walk out, I'm going to look damn fucking good.
I'm still going to look good, even if I'm going to be told no and I feel bad about, you know, my work life or whatever. So I ended up leaving that job and I wanted to create a place that I could be creative and inspire other women to look at style as a way to help boost your confidence and not be scared of it. So many people are looking at things like, oh, that's not going to, I couldn't wear that, or I can't, you know, that might not, they may not have that in my size or this and that. You know, I want people to look at style as a way to make you feel good.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what you do every day on yours. And I love, one of the things I love is, like, you are not afraid to, like, wear color, highlight color. And I think that's so great. Like, for me personally, following bloggers that just, like, live their lives in one color, I'm like, oh my God, this is torture.
Boring.
It's so boring.
It's like, you know, liven it up a little bit, you know, but I get it. Some people, that's their aesthetic and that's fine. I just prefer color and whimsy and fun things, you know?
So when did you know, though, because you basically have a whole side business. You're making money off of your Instagram, off of your blog, you're monetizing. When did you know that there was something there that you, that this could actually be like a business?
So I think for me, it's, I realized when I started to get, I was in demand. People were asking me to, like, post things. People were asking me to host events. People, you know what I mean? People were coming to me. So I was like, okay, the fact that people are coming to me to work with me, you know, that means, one, that they've liked my work. And I need to start, you know, looking at this as a business, because it is. And a lot of bloggers and influencers don't look at their blog as a business. They just look at it as something that they do in their free time. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. I know a lot of bloggers who are just like, hey, I just want to do this as an outlet. And that's fine. But for me, I was like, I'm putting so much of my time into it.
Yes, you want to get paid.
Yes, I want to invest and I want this to be huge. Like, I don't know what my next steps are, but I want to do something, you know, related to helping other women or, you know, who knows.
But. Well, how did you kind of figure out, because I'm still going through this with owning my own podcast business and own media business. How do you figure out your worth?
Okay, so that's something that I wish that I had
hard.
Known. It is so hard. And sometimes I'll, like, you know, like, if a brand approaches me, I'll, like, send my number back or my rate. And they're like, no, that, like, we can't afford that or this or that. And it's like, people aren't, you have to know your own work. Or
worth,
you know what I mean? Like, you know how much time it takes you to do something. And time is money at the end of the day. Time is money. You know, a brand is like, this shouldn't be hard for you to just post a photo to your Instagram. It's like, no, actually, it's very hard. I have to have it professionally photographed. I have to come up with a concept. I have to come up with the, you know, the theme of the post and come up with a caption, like, all of this. And then, you know, I never like to sound salesy. A lot of bloggers sound very salesy.
Okay.
And I don't like, I try to not sound salesy because it's a turnoff for me when I see another, you know, like, so I try and you know, when I'm writing a caption or something, I try and, like, not, you know, I try and mask
it a little bit.
Yeah,
it's authentic to your voice and who you are and, you know, absolutely. Yeah. Do you get, I get very agitated now, like, after all these years, and I try not to take it personally, but I'm always blown away how many people email you and want you to post for free.
Oh, it's crazy. It's so crazy. And then when you're like,
are you fucking kidding?
I know, like, what do you think? Like, this is my work.
I just got one over the weekend. Hey, I'd love to, you know, put you on my business profile and I'll send someone to come take a photo of you. I'm like, if you really think, like, you're going to use my image and likeness for a free photo, like, fuck off. But it just blows my mind.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, that said, though, I will work with brands. Like, if it's a brand that I absolutely, like, love and they want to work together, sometimes I have to weigh it out.
You got to weigh it, right?
But,
sure, sure, sure.
You know, I'll sometimes do a, you know, in kind, like a they'll provide something, even if it's not like, like they'll provide the a clothing or something like that, or an experience, you know, and I'll post about it. But sometimes I do that to get my foot in the door, get the relationship going with the brand.
Right. And then.
And then.
Yeah. Exactly. Then do it that way. I totally hear you. Okay. I wanted to talk about, too, you tell us about how you've branded your business, because right now we see so many people becoming influencers on Instagram, fashion bloggers. So how have you carved a niche for yourself? Because you've really grown the past year on your Instagram following. Yeah. You have like more than 40,000 followers.
Yeah. So it's, I think we were talking about this earlier. You want to give people a reason to follow you. So for me, you know, building my brand to help inspire other women and boost other women's confidence, it's, you know, it meant something to me. So that's kind of how I've, you know, approached my personal brand. And I want people to feel inspired when they come to my page. I want someone to go to my, like, Instagram page or my blog and say, oh, she's wearing that, I can wear that too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
I think just staying on brand is another big thing. Like, I won't work with brands that don't really match, you know, my personal mission. I think some bloggers, that's it's kind of a downfall. You know what I mean? Because then
right.
if you post something and it's not authentic, you're going to lose likeness. You know, you're going to lose, people aren't going to trust you as much.
Right.
So I think that that's important, to stay on brand. If it doesn't, like, if...
Which is hard to do. Like,
it's hard to
monetizing
do.
And growing. And
it is.
You're like, oh, but it's so tempting to like, do this.
No, it's like, but you'll see some bloggers that are like fashion bloggers, and then all of a sudden they're posting like ramen noodles or something like that. And it's like, where did this go wrong? Like, what? You're talking about like style here, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't look, you know, it looks out of place on their page. And I feel like I look at other bloggers like that. You know what I mean? I'm
like,
is this on brand with them or is it not? So I think staying once you have your brand, staying on brand is like the biggest thing. And give people a reason to follow you.
So where do you think, I mean, because you also, you know, you have a second job where you work in the IT business, you're aware of like websites and what people are buying. Where do you think, because you always hear mixed things in media, like for podcasting, for example, you hear that more and more TV radio dollars in the next 3 or 4 years are going to be switching to podcasting. What do you think the future is for people starting a online blogger brand, Instagram brand? Like, do you think you guys are still going to have a lot of money being funneled to you and power, or do you think it's like being oversaturated?
So a little bit of both. Brands are adding budget for influencing, because it's, you know, you're going to want to like buy something from someone who you feel you have a connection with on Instagram rather than seeing it on TV. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I'm going to be promoting this water bottle, you're going to be like, oh, If she, you know what I mean? Like, I trust her, so I'm going to go buy that water. But if you just see it on TV, like, there's no trust there. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that's, again, going back to staying on brand. You want to be, you know, putting things out there that other people are going to relate to and like also. So I think, you know, for influencers, it's still a booming market, and I think it's going to continue to be. It's really cool, actually, to be part of it, you know?
Oh, my God, I bet, because I bet you're just getting hit up all the time. And it is cool to see that shift, you know, from traditional media into this new era and new influencers and all of that.
And, like, Color Me Courtney, I love her feed. She's great. She's in...
you got to look into who that is.
She's really good. All of her posts are, like, bright color. She was just in an HP commercial on TV.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I was like, yes, girl, you go. Like, that's awesome. I thought it was so cool that they used a blogger for that.
Yes.
You know?
That is really cool. Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to talk that we're going to tackle some stories here, too, some pop culture stories that I want your opinion on. But you know, you've been doing this for 4 years. Every time I look at your feed, it's always nothing but positive things. And you're such an inspiration to women of all shapes and sizes. But you were a part of the Washingtonian Magazine campaign.
Yes.
That I don't think we even really talked about it yet on the podcast, but Washingtonian Magazine, probably about a month ago, right?
They just posted it last week, so it's been only like a week. Well, I posted it was a month long campaign, but they just posted the first round of their like photos like last week.
I bet they're redoing some photos.
Yeah.
Long story short, the campaign was from Washingtonian Magazine, which, you know, I always talk about where we podcast out of D.C. Lots of people listen to us all across the country. But here in D.C., it's a very prominent magazine, monthly magazine. That's all the who's who, where to go, you know, where to eat, all those great things. Right. And they launched a T-shirt campaign that's I'm not a tourist. I live here. And the story came out probably like a week or so ago, but they got an incredible amount of backlash, essentially for not diversifying the campaign. Yes. A lot of people thought it was very white. They only featured white people. So tell me this. Like, you said you got a lot of hate on your Instagram.
A ton of hate.
Yeah. Okay, so what was that like?
So, first of all, it's never my intention to ever, you know, I'm always talking about, like, confidence and empowering women. So to be a part of a campaign, this is the first time I was ever part of a campaign that really went south. So it was a huge learning experience for me.
Sure.
I did not plan it, I will say. If I had planned it, it would have looked a little bit differently. You know what I mean? It would have been diverse. And they should have had a more diverse group of influencers.
Right.
But they didn't. And I didn't plan it. You know what I mean? I was just a part of it. And so I started getting like all this like hate last week, and I didn't even realize that the story had come out until it made sense after I saw, and like one of my friends texted me and was like, I commented on the Washingtonian thing, and I was like, what Washingtonian thing?
Yeah.
So I went and looked, and I was like, oh shit. Like,
I've been there. I know. You don't even anticipate these things going left, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh fuck. Yeah. I'm right in the middle of this.
Yeah. So people were body shaming me. This is the photo.
Yeah. We got the photo up right now.
Yeah, so people were body shaming me. People were telling me, like, go take a few laps around the monument. Like, someone commented here, my big ass on this dirty ass bike, like all this stuff. And then people were like, you weren't born here. You're a poor representation of D.C. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, it felt bad. And it felt even worse that I was involved in this campaign. And I didn't have a say in it. You know what I mean? And
right.
It wasn't my intention. Like, I look at the shirt and I'm like, okay, this is poking fun of the tourists who like flock to the mall in their neon matching shirts and get in everyone's way and annoy everybody. You know what I mean? I didn't even think of how else it could be interpreted. And
people's interpretation was basically directing the lack of, you know, diversity towards you, basically like it just came out as anger towards you, or were people basically accusing you of being racist or.
Yeah. Like, so not so much of that, but people were basically like bashing like me and my influence in D.C.
That you
and body
really
shaming. Yeah.
A D.C. person.
Yeah. Yeah. That I'm not a D.C. person and all this stuff. And. You know, the Washingtonian, it's so funny. The Washingtonian is a publication I have known of my entire life.
Sure.
My dad was born and raised in Annandale, Virginia. My mom was from Puerto Rico. She moved here when she was 18. I was actually born here, but I grew up in Richmond. But the Washingtonian has, like, always been in my grandmother's house. Like, it's been a publication that, you know, it's supposed to mean something. So there's I never thought that being a part of a campaign with the Washingtonian could be like this. You know what I mean? I never anticipated. And my goal as a blogger was to always work with Washingtonian Magazine.
Oh.
And I finally did. And it was for this like campaign.
Right. Where basically, it missed the mark. They lacked diversity.
They
needed people of color. They need, you know, in there. And then for whatever reason, whoever planned it, you know, wasn't thinking that way.
Yeah, no, it was poorly executed for sure.
So you said that you did learn a fair amount of lessons. What was the biggest takeaway from this?
I think, like, locally, knowing who else is going to be involved in campaigns before you agree to them is a big thing. I think, you know, not to let people get you down, because I was receiving all these messages, you know, and it's like, why was I targeted? And I talked to some of the other influencers, and they didn't get a lot of hate. I guess I was just singled out whatever reason. And I think it taught me to not let some person hiding behind a private, you know, Instagram profile, like, saying all these, like, mean things to you. They don't know me.
They don't know
my story. Like, you can only take what other people say and assume about you so far. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think experiencing trolls for the first time and, like, saying, like, these people don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, I was telling you, I just went through it recently with a viral story. And it's really hard because people are very invested in cutting you down or making assumptions about who you are or how you think. And you're like, you know, and of course you're a brand, you're a business. So you want to write back to them to go fuck themselves.
Exactly.
But you're like,
you know, I know.
Really, you know, you really want to write back, like, get a fucking life and get off of my Instagram.
How sad for some people to feel that they have to bash others to make themselves feel better.
Right. And I think, you know, and look, obviously, like you said, you did not do this campaign. And for my situation, it was like, look, I realize exactly where this story went south. I apologized immediately. But then to have people... like, there's no room for error right now on the internet. It's like, people don't make mistakes, you know? So it's like, suddenly it's all you, Danny, you know, blonde in the district. Like, you are the one that made the campaign. It's like,
I didn't make the damn thing. Like, come on, people. Like, cut me a break. You know what I mean? I did not, like, I didn't do that. And my blog is all about D.C. You know what I mean? So saying I'm a poor representation of D.C., at first I was like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And I was like, what are they talking about? I know better. I know better than that. Right. So, you know... It is what it is. Like, people, and but you got like death threats and stuff. That's so
crazy.
God.
Yeah. Oh, people were like, you need to die. Like,
my God. Oh my God. Remember when Kim K was like robbed and people were like,
yes,
I wish that she had been murdered. Like, how awful for people to say. Yeah. So the trolling too. Some of my friends were like, well, I guess you've like made it because you know what it's like to have haters. And I was like, you're right. If you go to any of Kim K's posts, like she always has some hating.
Tons
you know?
Of hate. And actually, it was like the first time I empathized with them. I'm like, you know what? Damn. To live under that and like you can't feel like you can't do anything right no matter what you do is pretty amazing. So, well, anyway, you look great and I think it's really good. And I love the fact that you kept the picture up and, you know, it wasn't your campaign idea and you've moved on and you're growing from it. So I think that's terrific. So we wanted to get your thoughts on some stories that happened. You probably heard the clip, the Laurel and the Yanni clip from last week. But what did you hear, by the way?
So it's so weird. I was actually listening to your last podcast and at first I heard Laurel, but then I heard Yanni after it kept getting played more. Yes. I'm like,
you did?
I was like, wait a second. Did they do that on purpose or was that me? So, yeah. So I heard both.
Well, I love it. The actor behind the voiceover, this guy, J. Aubrey Jones, says that he says that it was completely Laurel. And he says that while he insists that other people are hearing Yanni, he doesn't. He's a Broadway and television actor. And he said when it first started, he usually works for vocabulary.com. Who knew that they had a voiceover person?
Okay.
and he recorded those two. He recorded like Yanni and Laurel as words for vocabulary.com. So when you look up how to pronounce a word, he was just doing a random reading. Then he says last week, like everybody else, his friend started sending him the clip. And at first he says he didn't even recognize his own voice. But he hears the word Laurel completely. And then he swears that if you're hearing Yanni, it's probably the device that you're listening on.
Ah, interesting.
Which there's been lots of speculation that either there are two different clips, which now that kind of does make sense because this guy's basically saying, yeah, I recorded Yanni and then I recorded Laurel. So that kind of makes sense that
so
someone's...
Like, which one are you listening to?
Which one are you listening to? And then we've also, you've probably heard this too, but a lot of people say it comes down to the pitch that you're listening in. Okay. So if it's like a lower tone than people hear Yanni... I'm so glad you're so young and you hear Laurel because the women that work on the show, they're like in their early 20s and they were like, Yanni. I'm like, oh my God, does this mean I have old ears? Like, what's going on?
Now, I am by no means young, but thank you. I'll take it.
You do. You are you in your 20s? You look
I'll be 34 in June.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God, lie to him. You look so good. AJ, our producer, was going to chime in and say something. What were you going to say, Age?
Really fast. All I hear now is Laurel. I can't hear Yanni anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Can't
hear it. You're listening to a different clip.
Crazy. Yeah. Also, you look great for 34. You're gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah, Danny is.
Thank you.
We also have to thank Danny, and I want your thoughts on this. On Saturday, we had a royal wedding party here at Podcast Village. Oh, my God. It was amazing. We have to thank Oscar Santana is one of the owners here. He was fantastic. He and his wife, Shannon, got up at like 6 in the morning to get here. We had 20 listeners. We watched the whole thing. We did a live broadcast, which you can see on my Facebook. We didn't make it a podcast because we kind of wanted to make it a unique experience. To watch Prince Harry and now the Duchess of Sussex get married, Meghan Markle.
Them.
What did you think, by the way? Did you watch?
Yes, I did. I was a little bit late. I overslept a little bit because I was...
it was Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was Saturday morning, and I like got up, and I was like opened Instagram, and I was like, oh shit, I got to turn the TV on, so I like ran and turned the TV on. I thought she looked absolutely stunning.
Did you like the dress, Givenchy?
Yes,
and you did. I thought it was a little plain.
It was a little plain, but I feel like for that, like you have to be very classy. Like at the end of the day, she looked very elegant. She looked very chic, and her veil, I thought was stunning.
Veil was gorgeous.
It was just beautiful. And I was reading that it had like what is it? The there was something like sewn onto it that had like meaning for, I think, for England.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. I don't quote me because I'm like saying it wrong. But yeah, I thought that that was a really cool touch. And I just thought she looked stunning in her dress after. Her like the,
oh, I loved that. I loved the party night dress. Like, I mean, I would have worn that as a wedding gown, but you know.
But I mean, I
trashy
thought she
American.
Looks, yeah. And everyone was like giving George Clooney grief because he didn't wear the traditional like.
Yes, the woman we had here, she was from England and she was like somewhat offended by George Clooney's outfit. Did you? I mean, we're American, so I thought it looked great.
I mean, of course he looked great, and Amal looked, I mean, stunning. They together. Oh my gosh, them and like Victoria and David Beckham looked so
amazing.
I'd die, but yeah, no, I thought he looked great. I didn't know that there was like a dress code.
I had no idea either. I had no idea, but they did, and they looked very, very in love, and I thought, you know, we all were in agreement the ceremony was great, and the choir that sang Stand
yes,
By
beautiful.
Me, and Bishop Curry was amazing, and yes. So it was a really cool change in tradition.
I agree. I loved it.
Well, for everybody that came out, too, thank you guys so much for being here. We had such a great time, and we'll be having another party, I'm sure, soon. AJ also put up on her Instagram, the Andrea Lopez, you had a really funny meme, which was essentially Ed Sheeran and Cardi B, like how they kind of look like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and I loved it. It's probably too short notice to pull it up, but maybe you can pull it up at the end of the show. It was so funny.
Oh, yeah, I'll find it.
AJ, that was like the best.
I died because they really do kind of like resemble them. And then I had to put it up.
Hysterical. Also, Catfish, I'd asked you, Danny, before you came on the show, if you watched the show on Catfish on MTV.
Yes.
If you were a fan, you said you are.
Yeah, so I'm surprised. It's kind of like the War of the Roses. I'm like, is it still around? It's still around? Like, you know, I and you know, when I'm in
it's
the mood to like
Catfish
watch.
Catfish is still around?
Catfish is still around? You
but
know,
yeah, when you want to like a lift up of your life and you're like, oh, at least I didn't think that Katy Perry and I were dating for 7 years.
I know. And I just put it on and I'm like, these people like, but again, it goes back to like hiding behind this like internet persona to like troll somebody. And some of them are mean. I was actually watching this weekend and one of the girl was getting catfished by a friend of hers who was trying to like get back at her for some stupid joke from like high school.
Oh my God. I
How
know.
How mean. That is so mean.
Well, MTV has halted the production of Catfish in light of new allegations of one of the hosts and the creators who was allegedly sexually harassed a woman. Now, he's completely denying that. But MTV says they take the allegations extremely seriously. Aisha Morgan, who appeared on Catfish 3 years ago, uploaded two videos to YouTube describing her experience on the show. In the video, she says the main guy on the show, who she identifies as Jack, repeatedly pursued her, inquiring about her sexuality and trying to convince her no longer to be a lesbian, but to be with him. Morgan also discussed a separate instance where she said she was sexually assaulted by a female production staffer who she only referred to as Carol. She said the two had been drinking beers and she became significantly inebriated. The producer invited her to her hotel room, claiming that she had two beds, but they only needed to share one. I mean, unbelievable for these allegations. Nev Schulman is Catfish's co-host and executive producer. He is denying the allegations. The behavior described, this is his quote, in this video did not happen, and I'm fortunate that there are a number of former colleagues who were present during this time period who are willing to speak up on behalf of me and the truth, he said in a statement. So the investigation is ongoing, but I'm with you. This show kind of jumped the shark for me, honestly, when they did have the guy who thought he was dating Katy Perry for like 5 years. And then they go to meet him and it's like this woman that's like in England, like 85 years old, like living in a house. I was just like, okay, come on. Like, come on. Who believes?
No.
I mean, come on. Who really believes that they're dating Katy Perry?
I mean.
And you haven't met her in five
years. Yeah, in 5 years. Yeah, okay. On. Don't you think she'd invite you to one of her shows or something? Like,
don't you think there'd be anything?
Yeah, anything.
Anything. Oh my God.
So crazy.
Oh, so also I wanted to go back just for a second. People are giving you a lot of great comments, by the way, Danny, on our Facebook page in regards to the Washingtonian campaign. People are extremely sensitive, Alyssa says, due to gentrification. Because obviously D.C. is known as Chocolate City at one point. Now a lot of natives can barely afford to ride the train. But she goes on to say, it's totally unfair to Danny, though. Seriously. Jalen says, I don't understand the bashing of Danny. The fault lies completely on Washingtonian. It sucks that she had to go through that. So, yeah, I think a lot of people understand, you know, explaining it, that obviously it wasn't you. And, I mean.
And it's never my intention to align myself with a campaign that is offensive to anybody. You know what I mean? So I want that to be known that, you know, that That wasn't me, I swear. You know,
right,
it's, I just happened to be selected by the Washingtonian to be a part of it. So
right, and it's one of those things too. Like you were saying, you know, you never even think to ask, like, oh, well, who, what are you doing this with this campaign? Because like you admired them. It was an honor.
Right,
you know?
I was so excited to be working with them. I was like, oh my gosh, this, you know, it's a personal goal of mine. I was like, yes, and then,
right, yeah,
then
exactly.
This happened, but you know.
Now, you are married.
Yes.
How long have you been with your husband?
So, my husband and I have been together for years. For like,
she's like,
like years.
How long?
So, we actually met in college. We met through a mutual friend, and we like dated in college, and then it ended really badly. And
really?
So, we didn't talk to each other for like years. And then we ended up running into each other at a happy hour. And he pursued me like hard the second time around. And I was like, mm-mm. I was like, I'm not going back with this. Like, I mean, obviously I liked him. I always liked him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So eventually he wore me down and I was like, okay, I'm going to drop this front because I actually like you. I've always liked you, you know? So yeah, the
now,
rest is history.
What's the deal? I never really see him on your social media. So I love this story, by the way, because here are the 8 reasons why couples rarely share relationship status on social media.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth with my own boyfriend, Dan, who never really wants to be on social media, but sometimes right. I drag him on.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm a whore for a sale. So I'm like, absolutely. If they want to buy you, you're for sale.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Couples
yeah.
campaign, we're doing it. So, you know,
yeah. Oh yeah. Same. And I'm like,
hey, surprise.
And like our dynamic is really very funny. He's hysterical, but like people meet him and they're like, dude, he's a dick. And I'm like, no, you just have to get to know him. He's like hysterical. That's why. And so
your
like our
real asshole.
Yeah. So people, I like to sometimes show, like we went to brunch yesterday and he was making all these funny comments about like the champagne glasses and stuff. And so I will share him like on stories and stuff like that.
Right.
Or, you know, funny things he says, but like I don't like to, our relationship is ours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm selling so much of myself already on like Instagram and social media. Like I want something to be private, so that's why I kind of keep him, you know.
Well, they say here are some of the reasons. People who post more often are more likely to be psychopathic or narcissistic. That's not good for us.
No, that's not good.
We post all the time. A survey of 800 men ages 18 to 40 found that the narcissism and psychopathy predict the number of selfies posted. And they say that same thing goes for couples. Couples who are less narcissistic and care less about what people think of their appearances don't post as often. When you're happy, you don't get distracted by social media. Couples who post a lot tend to be insecure. Do you think that's true?
Yes, and it's like those people
really?
That are like, I think so.
That kills
well,
me,
though,
but
yes
that makes me
no.
worry about John Legend and Chrissy Teigen. I like them.
They're different, though. I mean, they can like do no wrong, and everyone wants to see them because they're so damn cute together. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's fine, but like, I get it. And there's some people that are just posting like, oh my gosh, look at us here, look at us there, and we're so in love, and then they break up like the next week. You know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes.
So
no, that is true. It is absolutely true. And they say, lastly, couples are better off when they keep arguments offline. Do you ever share any arguments? I think that is a good one. I share all the dirt on Dan. Every argument we have, I'm always
you're
on
like,
here.
Listen to what this asshole did.
Yes. Oh, my God. Awful. And I do feel bad. Like, this weekend, we just went down to Fredericksburg. He had this really important soccer tournament. He coaches soccer. And they got all the way to the finals. And then they lost in this penalty kick game. But, like, he did such a great job. And I was just, like, so proud of him. And I feel bad because, like, lots of times the show is our therapy. Like, everyone that comes on, we just dish all the bad.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, people must think I really fucking hate him. And I'm like, this is, like,
like
the one thing.
Yeah.
Like, this week and I was like so proud of him. I'm like, he did such a great job and it was
well, see so you're saying
killer.
Something positive though.
Yes, and it really like when I was watching him coach under pressure, I was like, oh, this is what I love about him. Like he's so cool, calm, collected. Like he's so good under pressure. And it was one of those like moments where you're like, oh my God, please, you know,
yeah.
just let them win. But you know, you win
that's
some,
such
you
a
lose
bummer.
Some.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah, it was. A couple more stories, then we do pineapple mail to sort of finish out. And by the way, people are also Paolo says that she loves your hair color.
Ooh, thank you. I go do Illusions of Georgetown. Amanda does my color. Mm-hmm.
Looks really good. This was a big moment. I love this. Alaskan Airlines shared that their first ever in-flight crew was all black women that flew last week. It was a historic day. The video has now been seen over 1 million times. In-flight announcements are an experience travelers, of course, normally tune out, but they didn't last week when they took the sky. Alaskan Airlines in-flight announcement only broke the mold of boring flight proclamations to basically make the historic statement. Captain Tara Wright is about to announce to Alaskan Airlines passengers that they'll be piloted by two African-American female pilots for the first time in Alaskan Airlines history. That was pretty amazing. I love that story.
Yes, I do too.
And it was great to see everybody's reaction. Everybody on the plane was so happy. They were like, can I take photos with you? They were videoing.
Yep.
So what a historic day last week. That was really cool. And Beyonce, you know, everybody says that they would go to the Church of Beyonce. Are you a big Beyonce fan, Danny?
So I do like Beyonce, but I have to say Lady Gaga is my like queen.
You actually kind of look like Lady Gaga. Do people tell you that?
Oh my God, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Thank you. My best friend will sometimes like send me like DM like photos of like Lady Gaga. She's like, you look like Lady Gaga here. And I'm like, thank you. God.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going
but no,
for.
I do love Beyonce. I love everything that she stands for. I do enjoy her music.
Well,
and
I have to, it's funny you say that because I have to say that my queen bae would have to be Rihanna.
Like, okay,
I'm
a that's
big a bad girl Riri because I think Rihanna gives zero fucks.
Yeah, she does.
Beyonce is beyond talented, but I do think Beyonce and Jay now have a very orchestrated, you know, they're real. They're definitely real. And I loved Jay-Z's interview with David Letterman about therapy and cheating.
Right.
But I think they're very calculated.
Yeah.
Whereas Rihanna, I feel like gives zero fucks.
Yeah,
and I love every minute of it.
I agree with that. And I do love Rihanna too.
There's no word if Beyonce is actually starting her own church, but she has bought a 7,500 square foot House of God in the Big Easy, which of course is New Orleans. It's more than 100 years old. It was listed at $850,000. It's unclear what she's going to do with it, but Solange owns a home right down the street. The church is beautiful.
Yeah, I looked at the picture. It looks awesome. I mean, I would go get information at Beyonce's church. Like, sign me up.
Definitely get yes. information for that. Oh, 100%. Absolutely. All right, well, let's do a little. I know you got to get out of here, so I want to do a little pineapple mail and get your thoughts on this. Pineapple mail is mail that we get from listeners every single week. You can always email me, sarah@heyfrage.com. Anything, advice, feedback, whatever you like, we read them all. So this is from a guy. He doesn't want his real name put out there. Okay, so we're just going to call him Bill. All right?
Bill, okay.
Bill says, hey, Sarah, first, I love the podcast. I've loved it from day one. Been following you from your radio days up to New York, Connecticut. Oh, I didn't do much there. Back to 107.3. You're doing great. So I wanted to try waxing, and I figured that you would be the best person to reach out to about this. What do people think? Like, I just, the master waxer over here. I've never been waxed.
Miracle.
And wanted to know the best place, practices for how to make it the least painful, etc. It seems like no one has anything on their website about men's waxing except for a few blurbs, and I need to know more. Any tips you can provide would be great. I don't really want to show up somewhere and have them look at me like some sort of freak.
Oh my gosh, this poor guy. You're not a freak, Bill. You're not a freak.
Bill says, I'm going to be asking for them to wax my personal areas. Thank you
okay.
so much for being an inspiration. Okay. Wow, Bill.
So you're a professional, like, wax, like, maven,
well,
like.
You we know, you do know. Work with Waxing the City in Alexandria, and they do men's waxes. I want to know who you, if
so
there's a male place. Do you know
so
anyone?
I go to Seta Wax Studio. They have a location in Bethesda and in Mosaic District.
Okay.
But they don't do, they do men's waxing, but they do not do the men's private
arts.
Okay,
waxing. Well, or Bill, you could come on the show. We'll wax you right here. We're not afraid at all. Anyway, no, but Waxing the City does in Alexandria. I would totally go. I'm sure they'll still give you a discount. First time you go in, you get 50% off if you just tell them Sarah Fraser sent you. And they're so good. We've seen them. Adam, who's a model. Actually, do you know Adam, I asked? You probably know All Day Adam. He's this Instagram model from D.C.
All
what?
Day Adam? I
you
don't know.
You need to also partner
handle?
With him. Yes.
I'm going to look him up
He's
right now.
He's super hot.
Oh, I don't well, know this. I don't know him.
We did a waxing party for men a couple of months ago, and he was there, and we waxed his chest. It was so epic.
Oh, my gosh. Was it like in what movie is that with
Oh, my God. It was completely like 40-year-old virgin.
Yes. We were like, ah.
No, he was like saying Kelly Clarkson the whole thing. And I think like parts of the chest are very sensitive, so it's. Like, because when I have a bikini wax, it's so pain-free.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you mind wax? Like, I get my whole body waxed. I don't think
it's painful. Yeah, I do, like, like, everything. I've had, like, face, everything. Like, there's no real good way to, like, the face, I feel like, is the worst.
I do, too. I think it's worse than the bikini, don't you?
Yeah, agree. 100%. 100%.
I don't even mind underarms. Like, legs, I think, are easy.
Yeah. Legs, I feel, are painful.
Well, they are a little bit, you're right, like, on the shin part.
Yeah, and, like the knee. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It makes me, like... there's no like good way. Like you just have to deal with it. You know what I mean? Just deal with it.
Well, I will say, I mean, Waxing the City, their whole thing is that their wax is like a special kind of like formula that's supposed to be a little bit pain-free. And I literally get my hoo-ha wax and it's like the most pain-free, relaxing thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I at Seta, they have their own wax too. And it, I mean, it's pretty painless for the most part, you know?
It is. People are loving this. Leah is laughing hysterically. Yeah. Bill, go get it. Try one. Well, try Waxing the City Alexandria. That's where you need to go. They wax men.
Good luck, Bill.
They will not, they won't bother you at all. I mean, they really, they won't like laugh at your like.
Other people have it done too. You know what I mean? Like if there's a service, it's there for people to go to use, to utilize. So go for it, Bill.
Danny, where can people follow you if they, and you also every month you have a meetup that you do. Tell us about that.
So Bubbles and Bloggers. So it's a monthly meetup and it's, you have to be an influencer or blogger. You have to have a valid like website. You have to have a valid URL. And it's a place for the local influencing community to come together and meet each other. It's very more social. It's not, it's not really as educational. It's more of a social, like
networking.
We do different things. We one time did a wine tour. We, you know, do happy hours. We do exercise classes. So it all depends, you know, like I try and change it up. So it's not the same thing every month. But no, we have great turnouts and it's great. It's actually a place that everyone come and feel welcome, because when I started blogging, I felt like the blogging community was so like cliquish and I didn't feel welcome. I went to one event in particular and it was hosted by like five different bloggers and like nobody like wanted to like speak or like introduce themselves or anything, interact. They were just talking amongst themselves. And I was like, okay, guys, like let's change this up a little bit. Let's let's make people feel invited. Like we're all in the industry, so
yes, and that's what it like. That's the thing is like once you get to that place of collaboration, so many more opportunities open for you because people love to work with people that you know when you're down or like you just throw a lead to somebody. Like people don't forget that they're so grateful for that, and it comes back around.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I'm always so grateful when somebody, you know,
recommends.
I mean, it's great. And I always try and return the favor, too.
Well, blondeinthedistrict.com is her website. You can follow her. Yes. It's blonde_inthedistrict
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. Oh, my God. You were amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Follow Danny. You guys have a fabulous Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday. Paul Wharton will be here with a special edition. I mean, not really that special. What? We're here like every Wednesday. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Bye, you guys. Love you. Thank you for coming to our royal wedding party. Cast by.